Welcome to the VAT update for 14th September, and as usual, this podcast is accompanied by detailed notes, which summarise the five items covered and contain links should additional research be wished to be done. The first of the items today is about communal leisure facilities and the retirement village, and it illustrates that principle in tax that it ain't what you do, but the way that you do it. Because what is quite clear is that if the leisure facilities had been incorporated into the building and the whole retirement village constructed at one time, then it would have benefited from zero rating. But in this case, what happened was that they began with planning permission in 2004, and the particular building, Raphael Court, which was developed by St. George's Augustine Care, was not completed until June 2016. And it contained five self-contained apartments for retirees, as well as on different floors, a swimming pool, leisure facilities, and various shops. There was no doubt that the shops were standard rated, and this included the cafe, kitchen, laundrette and hair saloon. But what was being disputed was whether or not they were entitled to zero rating for the part of the building that was to be used by the residents of the building and this is important, the other residents of the retirement village, which had been completed in earlier phases. The first tribunal looked at the interpretation of Group 5 of Schedule 8, and it ruled that this had to be standard rated because the swimming pool was available to the other residents of the retirement village, and this meant that it did not satisfy the conditions of being part of the building which was being constructed and available only to that building's residents. We face a lot of tax uncertainty after Brexit, and we now learn that the autumn statement will be on the 23rd of November. We won't know whether the finance bill in its final form is enacted because royal assent is on 15th September, but they have produced the latest version of the bill as well as the debate at report stage on the 5th and 6th of September. And if you suffer from insomnia, then reading the 662-page finance bill and the report debate should cure that insomnia. Another case is that of Dollar Financial Limited, which had originally paid VAT under the scheme where it paid for leads generated by other websites. There were two supplies in dispute, the first being supplies by other websites and the second being a supply made by Allsec Technologies, who would phone up people who had declined a loan. So this particular dispute is looking at how far the exemption for financial services extends, and it involved looking at the sixth directive legislation as well as looking at the UK legislation. What had happened was that the company had in fact paid VAT as part of the reverse charge, and then it took a view that it did not need to do so because the services on which it had been paying the VAT were in fact within the exemption, so it claimed a repayment. For each of the items where they paid another website for the introduction, that website had to ask the applicant for a loan to fill out a form confirming their age, their residence, whether they had a net income of at least £900 a month, and whether they had a valid mobile phone and email address. Consequently, the other website was performing an address, and this was sufficient to enable it to be within the intermediary's exemption of Group 5 of Schedule 9. In contrast, Allsec were actually performing what's called as back office type functions, which the lender could do itself but had chosen to outsource, and this was not exempt intermediation but failed to be treated as a standard rated supply, and therefore the VAT which Dollar had paid was not recoverable. I sometimes read charity cases and think how unfair it must be that a charity has to deal with a complex issue with customs and excise. And that's certainly the case in Longbridge on the Thames versus Revenue Customs, which has now gone to the Court of Appeal, about £135,000 of VAT incurred on the construction of a clubhouse for the charity. The issue was whether or not the charity, which relied on volunteers and supplied the services of helping people with boating and other river-based activities at a subsidised rate. In other words, it was not aiming to make a profit, it was aiming to encourage youth and people in the community to participate in river-based sports such as boating. And without the contribution made by volunteers, it was not economically viable. So the charity was arguing that it was not engaged in an economic activity, and therefore, as everything was applied to the charitable objective, the building should be zero rated. They won at the first tier tribunal and the upper tribunal, but it's been overturned at the Court of Appeal. And for any appellant, this must be a disaster, as the risk of cost being awarded against the charity will far exceed the £135,000 of VAT, which is the basis of the dispute. Finally, an alert, because HMRC have published Business Brief 13-2016, which contains a great deal of information. It basically confirms that the policy and practice of HMRC in the past was incorrect, where there was a supply of buildings and for the conversion of non-residential buildings, and this may affect zero rating or reduced rate. And what it's confirming is that where two buildings have been combined, it can now qualify. So HMRC are inviting claims for any overpaid VAT with retrospective effect of up to 4 years from the publication of the brief on the 23rd of August. If you have clients affected by this, get the claim in now. Thanks for listening.